It's really the only humane and sensible way to handle the situation. And I wonder if anyone ever thought to erect a memorial to those three horses whose death brought about
Picnic. Harry Edwards, 24 years.
This has been Talk Digest. This is Myron J. Bennett.
Now on KOA Radio, we take you back to the 4 Mile House for the live music of Lee Barron.
Another great big handful of greetings to you. From all of us here at Denver's most unique supper club, the 4 Mile House, to all of you, wherever you may be. This is Lee Barron at the piano, Big Gene McDonald on the big 5-string bass, and Happy Homer Schmidt on drums.
Let's name laugh.
Oh, that laughing motor is just running all the time. But you have to see him to really appreciate it. Makes you feel good all over to see somebody as happy as that all the time. Well, here's a happy type, too. Came out in 1933, and it is the request of Myron Dickinson of Grand Island, Nebraska. Did you ever see a dream walking? The wonderful George Gershwin. The first one, Someone to Watch Over Me, came out in 1926, and Embraceable You in 1930. These the requests of Dorothy Lehman of Denver. By Frank Symes, I believe it is, S-Y-M-E-S, of Rapid City, South Dakota. Couldn't pronounce Sims. Under Paris Skies. We'd also, at this time, like to express our regret that Marge and Bill Nelson couldn't be with us tonight. They planned to be right here at the 4 Mile House with a little party that's going on, and they couldn't make it, so we're going to play a little tune for them anyway and let them know we're thinking about it. Under Paris Skies. Thank you. those French tunes are always happy tunes. Even sad French songs somehow sound like happy tunes. We have a couple more of them coming up a little later in the broadcast here. Right now we're going to do a tune for Joe Arnheim down in El Paso, Texas. Just wonder if Joe is related to... Smitty said he was thinking the same thing, if he was related to Gus Arnheim. Because he requested a tune, this Joe Arnheim, requested a tune that came out in 1926, which was the time that Gus Arnheim was really in his prime. Verses of the Blues. Oh, here's a cute little tune I want to play for Mr. and Mrs. Ray Coyle of Denver, who are celebrating their 28th anniversary. I may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful. Thank you.
Well, there's a couple more of those little French songs now. La Vie en Rose and Mademoiselle for Audrey Keenan of Oklahoma City. Little Latin tune now.
You belong to my heart. I'd like to do this for Miriam Schreiner, who is right here in the 4 Mile House with us tonight. And we know that Miriam Schreiner is one of our most faithful listeners and has been for years and years and years. So tonight it's a pleasure to be able to meet her and talk to her and play one of her favorite tunes, You Belong to My Heart. Thank you.
Regretfully, we have to say so long for now. But thanks so much for letting us get together again tonight. Hope we can do it again tomorrow night. Same time on KOA Denver, when once again from Denver's most unique supper club, the 4 Mile House, we hope to bring you more of the tunes you like the most. And you know, the only way we know what they are is by your request. So drop us a card or a letter if you're unable to come out and join in the fun with us, and tell us what you'd like to hear. This is Lee Barrett at the piano, Big Gene McDonald on the big five-string bass, and Happy Homer Schmidt on drums, wishing you a most pleasant and very safe good evening.
Hearing music as it happens. The live music of Lee Barron, brought to you every evening Monday through Friday on KOA Radio at 9:10. Make it a date tomorrow night at 9:10 for the live music of Lee Barron, direct from the 4 Mile House, Leedsdale Drive at Cherry Street, Denver, Colorado. Tomorrow at 5:15 p.m., listen for John Henry's Sports Desk for the latest scores and news in the world of sports. And stay tuned to KOA for the 6:05 Weather Vane with Weatherman Bowman. Weather Vane and Sports Desk are a service of Wood Brothers Homes, Thursdays on KOA Radio. This is the 50,000-watt voice of the West, KOA Denver. It's 10 p.m. in the West. First Federal Savings, Colorado's oldest, and Denver's first federally chartered savings and loan association, presents the news.
Some of the early day critics complained that artist Albert Bierstadt made Colorado Mountains look too skinny in his paintings. But Bierstadt accumulated more money than most painters, for his canvases caught the fancy of the wealthy and many governments. We at First Federal Savings of Denver like to associate ourselves with the Old West in many ways. You see, First Federal is Colorado's oldest federally chartered savings and loan association. And that means a lot to savers like you. It means an unbeatable record of sound management, insured safety, and high earnings. The top rate today is 5.25% a year on First Federal certificate accounts of $1,000 or more when held 6 months. Could we prompt you to open an account soon? Maybe today. At First Federal Savings, the financial pioneer that grew and is still growing with the West.
And now 12 minutes of uninterrupted news with Glenn Martin.
Good evening. An American Air Force fighter bomber shot down a communist MiG interceptor over Hanoi today, while other U.S. planes bombed Haiphong and its outskirts again. American planes also hit near the Red China border again. The F-105 from the MiG-17 jet with cannon fire as fellow pilots bombed a railroad bypass bridge 19 miles northwest of Hanoi. At the same time, Navy pilots bombed the Lock Tri boatyard less than 2 miles southwest of the center of Haiphong and a huge Army barracks 3 miles southeast of the port city. Both targets were hit in previous raids. The MiG that was shot down was the 86th communist plane claimed by U.S. pilots in the war as against 26 U.S. planes lost in air-to-air combat. It was the first MiG downed in more than a month. A White House communication outlining strategy for Democratic governors to win Republican governors over to support of a Vietnam resolution has fallen into GOP hands. A copy of the communication was received aboard the National Governors Conference cruise ship, the SS Independence, by California Republican Governor Ronald Reagan. It advises Democrats to work on Republican governors James Rhodes of Ohio and John Chafee of Rhode Island for support of a Vietnam resolution. The Republican governors at caucus today agreed unanimously to oppose bringing before the conference any resolution endorsing President Johnson's course in Vietnam. The White House reacted quickly. The White House message was from Presidential Assistant Marvin Watson to former Governor Price Daniel of Texas. It listed in detail previous GOP support of similar resolutions. Daniel is the administration's new liaison man with the governor. Senator Charles Percy says the Republican Party has a large number of so-called non-candidates for the presidential nomination in 1968. Percy, addressing the Associated Press Managing Editors Association in Chicago, described non-candidates as a group of men who can neither say yes nor no. The Soviet Venus probe has apparently disintegrated after sending over 12 hours of coded messages from the planet. Soviet scientists said the sensitive instruments were consumed in what they called hellish fires produced by temperatures over 500 degrees. A cut-auto-built satellite is the 3,000th man-made object to go into space. The satellite, a fourth in the orbiting solar observatory series, was built by Ball Brothers Research Corporation in Boulder. Ball Brothers has been the prime contractor to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration since the Orbiting Solar Observatory program began in 1959. The House tonight passed a bill designed to cut government spending an estimated $7 billion in the fiscal year ending June 30th. Fighting to hold down proposed cuts in President Johnson's budget, administration supporters were defeated again and again in a complex struggle that ended with a victory for Republicans and Southern Democrats. The bill now goes to the Senate. Nailed into a measure to continue emergency financing for departments whose appropriations are still pending were two big spending limitations. One would require that spending this year be held at the level of previous years, except for outlays in connection with the Vietnam War and certain other specified activities. Added to that limitation, sponsored by Democratic Representative Jamie Whitten of Mississippi, was another backed solidly by the Republicans, headed by GOP Representative Frank Bowe of Ohio. It would set what Bowe called an absolute ceiling of $131.5 billion on spending this year. This is a cut of not less than $5 billion, but estimated by some Democrats to be much higher. The jury has quit for the night in the trial of 18 men at Meridian, Mississippi on conspiracy charges in the death of three civil rights workers. The jury had deliberated more than 3.5 hours before being locked up for the night. A DC-8 airliner, believed on military charter with up to 150 persons aboard, has landed safely at Anchorage, Alaska, after reportedly suffering hydraulic system damage on takeoff. The Capital Airlines craft had departed from McGuire Air Force Base, New Jersey, apparently en route to the Far East. A $4-a-day waiter in a Clearwater, Florida restaurant, described by a friend as too poor to go to college, worked as usual today, despite a federal court ruling awarding him property worth about $3 million. The heir, Charles Donald Belcher, said the lawyers will have to work out the figures, and it may take a year. The court ruling awarded the 27-year-old waiter his father's full one-fifth share and the family's $14 million lumber business. New York's University Hospital says novelist John Steinbeck may have to undergo back surgery next week. Steinbeck has been hospitalized for 10 days with a herniated disc of the lumbar spine. But the hospital says the 65-year-old author is in satisfactory condition. Steinbeck's condition became known after his 21-year-old son John was arrested in Washington and pleaded innocent to possessing marijuana and maintaining a common nuisance. President Johnson and Singapore's visiting Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew have agreed on what is needed for the security and welfare of the entire Pacific. A joint communique says this depends on countries of Southeast Asia maintaining their independence and spending their economic growth. And Lee expressed Singapore's readiness to assume its part in construction of a regional framework. Lee departs from Washington tomorrow for New York. Some 150 trucking companies involved in the nine-week-old steel hauler strike have unanimously approved a new proposal for settlement. The strikers, however, have not voted, and some truckers have termed the plan unsuitable and lousy. The auto strike continues with Ford Motor Company and United Auto Workers negotiating, reportedly still at odds over automatic cost of living raises. Britain's Prime Minister Harold Wilson has intervened in the dock strike that has crippled dockyards in London, Liverpool, and Manchester. He has summoned the Labour Minister and the top union leader to his office for talks. Earlier, a cabinet minister accused the communists of fomenting disruption in every vital seaport. Hungarian sources report Joseph Cardinal Mindszenty has stood firm against pressure from the Vatican and the United States and refused to leave the U.S. Embassy in Budapest for exile in Rome. The Roman Catholic primate of Hungary was said to have demanded unacceptable concessions from the communist government and a dignified departure. Mindszenty has been a political refugee in the U.S. legation in Budapest since the 1956 Freedom Fighters Revolt. The defense used 8 of its 16 peremptory challenges today as the selection of a jury continued in the murder trial of 26-year-old Thomas J. Sergeant in Durango, Colorado. Defense attorney John S. Carroll says it will be about noon Friday before a jury is impaneled. He still has 8 peremptory challenges remaining, which he can use to dismiss prospective jurors without cause. District Attorney Al Paz of La Plata County has waived the state peremptory challenges. Carroll also noted that a third defense counsel will be added when the actual trial begins. She is Rebecca Bradley of Denver. The other defense attorney is Leonard E. Davies of Denver. Denver Mayor Tom Kerrigan says he'll present a substantially reduced budget to city council tomorrow in an effort to solve the impasse that has developed between the two over the operating budget for next year. The meeting will be behind closed doors, with even members of the mayor's staff excluded. The mayor indicates his new proposal will be substantially less than the $63.5 million budget presented originally. However, the mayor says additional revenue will be needed. It's expected Kerrigan will ask the council to approve a fractional increase of less than 1% in the city's sales tax. But sources report the council will oppose any increase in taxes. The Denver U.S. National Bank has joined 11 other banks across the nation to form the American Overseas Banking Corporation, being organized for the former U.S. Controller of the Currency, James Saxon. Board Chairman Roger D. Knight Jr. says each bank is investing $2 million to get the corporation underway, and assets of the 12 participating institutions exceed $9 billion. There are only 4 more days to drive to the summit of the world-famous Pike Peak this year. The road superintendent for the city of Colorado Springs, Jack Sullivan, says the highway will be closed Sunday afternoon. A total of 274,000 vehicles will have made the drive to the summit of the 14,110-foot mountain, about 40,000 less than last year, but still the third highest annual total in the history of the road. Several weeks of verbal dueling appears likely in the Federal Power Commission hearing on natural gas pipeline rates. Most of the pipeline companies are urging area rates, but a municipal gas group, including Denver, contends area regulation might increase consumer rates. Finally tonight, the information obtained from the Russian Venus probe that Venus is extremely hot, perhaps as hot as 536 degrees Fahrenheit, is seen by some as further support for the once ridiculed theories of Emanuel Velikovsky. Velikovsky set the scientific world on its ear in 1950 when he published...
earning power, First Federal recommends the savings certificate account. It's similar to a regular account, except the minimum amount is $1,000, which earns the maximum rate of 5.25% a year when held 6 months. So, take your choice, and you may choose from 3 First Federal offices. The main office is at 3460 West 38th Avenue. First Federal, Colorado's oldest, Denver's first, federally chartered savings and loan association.
The 10 p.m. KOA News was presented by First Federal Savings of Denver, the financial pioneer that grew and is still growing with the West, now paying 5.25% on insured savings. Sports Overnight, heard every weekday at 8.05 a.m. on KOA, is a capsule of the latest news and scores from the sports world. Listen for John Henry and Sports Overnight tomorrow morning on KOA, brought to you by your neighborhood Enco dealer. KOA Denver at 10:15. Now here's Weatherman Bowman.
Well, thank you, Bob Meyer, and good evening. This weathercast is presented by the Water Saver Company of Denver, distributor of portable firefighting equipment for home, industry, agriculture, and government. More from the Water Saver people in a few minutes. First, a look at the weather tonight. New winds aloft from the U.S. Weather Bureau show the ridge of fair weather flattening west of here tomorrow. Actually, it's being flattened by a storm whirling inland from the Pacific Northwest. There is quite a disturbance apparent in the upper airflow, but it is expected it will move almost straight east along the Canadian border. And there is a kink in the jet stream, but the kink should stay along the Canadian border. Now, these storms usually do weaken as they move through the ridge or around the top of the ridge, and then re-intensify when the storm gets into the eastern half of the country. Meanwhile, it looks as if most of the wet weather tomorrow would be in the mountains of Montana and possibly Wyoming, say, tomorrow night. And it will be windy and warmer east of the mountain from here north, at least tomorrow. And there may even be some temperatures reach as high as 80 degrees. Most of them will certainly be in the 70s. This warming east of the mountains tomorrow will in turn be followed by cooling east of the Rockies on Friday. But that should be about the extent of the change in the weather expected on Friday. At this time, there appears to be only an outside chance that there would be any snow even in the northern Colorado mountains, and that, if it should develop, would be tomorrow night. It is very dry in the Colorado Rockies, especially the mountains of western Colorado. Up on the flat top, the report we have is no snow left at all. That's a favorite area for hunters, and there'll be lots of them up there on the flat tops in northwestern Colorado this weekend. It was shirt sleeves at 10,000 feet there this week, even though the ponds freeze over at night. If there isn't some snow, it's going to be tough tracking, and it's going to be terribly noisy to boot, and the fire danger will be high. The danger of weed and grass fires is not confined to the mountains by any means. The danger is apparent over a large area of the West this year, and that's why it is essential that you have some means of protecting your farm and ranch buildings or suburban home or mountain cabin because of the danger of these brush and grass fires. The Water Saver Fire Attack Kit offers the most firefighting protection for the money available today. It's a completely portable, self-powered unit that you can take anywhere in a pickup truck. It has its own supply of water and a 110-gallon tank bag made of strong, flexible butyl rubber. It's so effective and so dependable, it is widely used by Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management personnel. For complete information about the Water Saver Fire Attack Kit, write to the Water Saver Company, Post Office Box 16611, Denver. The temperature here tonight is holding up 54 degrees. The low should be around 40. The Weather Bureau said it finally was down to 31 here this morning. And it should reach the upper 70s here tomorrow, but be windy around 25 miles an hour in the afternoon from the southwest. The barometer is still falling a little. The barometer reading now 30.12. Friday's to be cooler. The humidity tonight is 30%. The temperature again 54. This is Weatherman Bowman saying so long for the Water Saver Company. Box 16611, Denver.
The trademark CARE represents hope and help to the needy abroad, a symbol of friendship on packages of food, seeds to grow food, tools, and medical services to improve communities. Stand behind the guarantee of service to humanity. Send your dollars to CARE, Box 2266, Kansas City, Missouri, 64142. KOA Time, 1020.
Top of the evening, everyone. This is John Henry with a Wednesday edition of Sports Call. Each weekday evening at 10:20, we turn to the world of sports for this five-minute wrap-up of the day's action. There's Wednesday action in the National Basketball Association, the American Basketball Association, and the National Hockey League. And so I guess the winter season is here early this year. In the National Basketball Association tonight, the Baltimore Bullets beat the New York Knicks 121-98. The Cincinnati Royals took a four-point decision over the San Francisco Warriors, 122-118. The Philadelphia 76ers over the Lakers, 103-87. There's one game in the American Basketball Association. There is no score across as yet, but the Anaheim Amigos are still trying to win their first one. They're playing at Indiana. In the National Hockey League tonight, the New York Rangers and the Montreal Canadiens battle to a two-goal tie. The Pittsburgh Penguins and the Minnesota North Stars battle to a three-goal tie. The Detroit Red Wings beat Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2. The Boston Bruins beat the Chicago Blackhawks 7-1. The Philadelphia Flyers over the St. Louis Blues 2-1. And we give those names because there are a lot of new teams in the National Hockey League and new nicknames for us to get accustomed to. Los Angeles is playing California right now, and they're is no score of that one at this time. The American League club owners held their meeting in Chicago today to discuss Charlie Finley's appeal to move his Kansas City franchise to Oakland. And it went for a long while. They said they would have a news conference and a big announcement at 6 o'clock Denver time. However, the announcement has just come about 15 minutes ago. The American League club owners have given the A's permission to move to Oakland. At the same time, they announced an expansion plan, which will increase the American League to 12 teams by 1971. The two new franchises will go to Kansas City and Seattle, Washington. The awards of the new franchises are subject to baseball rules and procedures, and in the case of Seattle, that the city be able to provide suitable stadium facilities. The announcement came after the league owners had met behind closed doors throughout the day and heard presentations from interested groups in the cities concerned. The owners also listened to a presentation from Kansas City Chiefs football owner Lamar Hunt, who asked for a franchise for the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas. The league announcement said details still remain to be worked out, including coordinating the expansion plan with Baseball Commissioner William Eckert and the National League. The fact that Lamar Hunt was only given 24 hours in which to prepare his presentation probably explains one of the reasons that Dallas was not accepted. It probably was given an outside chance at best to move in. Charles Finley is very jubilant, of course, at getting permission to move out to Oakland, California. He was turned down in 1963 in an effort to transfer the A's to Louisville, Kentucky. He said the team will continue to be known as the Athletics as they were in Philadelphia and in Kansas City. And he said they'll also have the same mascot, a mule. Elsewhere on the sports scene, here is a score. The Indiana Pacers beat the Anaheim Omegas. Amigos, that is to say, 106 to 103. So Anaheim still is looking for that first win. The Associated Press All-American Regional Football Board lists Colorado quarterback Bob Anderson as a possibility, although this is his first season of collegiate football. The board says the 6-foot, 204-pounder has made a tremendous impression in his first four collegiate games and should give Nebraska for two more touchdowns, gain 290 yards rushing, 352 yards passing without a single interception. A report from Boulder this afternoon indicates that fullback Wilmer Cook's bruised knee is not responding to treatment as well as had been hoped. He'll make the trip to Lincoln. There is a chance he will not see action against the Huskers on Sunday. The Denver Broncos signed a new kicker today. They've activated 6'1", 240-pound kicking specialist Bob Humphreys, a former Pan Am Games medal winner whose only pro experience was with the now-defunct Long Beach Admirals of the Continental League. The Broncos, of course, getting set for the San Diego Chargers on Sunday. That's all for Sports Call for this evening. This is John Henry. Until 8:05 tomorrow morning and ENCO's Sports Overnight, thank you and good evening.
KOA time, 10:25. Now, NBC News.
Brought to you by American Express Traveler's Checks, the safe travel money for vacation and business trips. Now, here is Bryson Rash.
A U.S. Air Force fighter bomber piloted by Major Donald M. Russell of Westbrook, Maine, today shot down a MiG-17 in a dogfight over Hanoi. The kill came while Russell's fellow pilots bombed a railroad bridge 19 miles northwest of the communist capital. Navy planes again bombed the Loch Tray boatyard 1.7 miles from the center of the port city of Haiphong and an Army barracks 3 miles from the center. Other Air Force pilots flew to within 22 miles of the border of communist China to hit a railroad siding. U.S. headquarters in Saigon said ground action was negligible. A private White House communication addressed to former Democratic Governor Price Daniel of Texas aboard the SS Independence has fallen into Republican hands. It urged that the Democratic governors aboard work with Republican governors James Rhodes of Ohio and John Chaffee of Rhode Island for support of a Vietnamese resolution. In Washington, the House handed administration supporters a stunning defeat by approving a measure to cut government spending by as much as $7 billion in the current fiscal year. The vote was 253 to 143. One section of the bill requires that spending be held at the level of last year, except for the Vietnamese War and other specified activities. Another section sets an absolute ceiling of $131.5 billion on...